From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. We begin with the national news. President Joko Widodo guarantees that the government will provide equal access to investors based on micro, small, and medium enterprises or MSMEs and cooperatives with large value investors. According to the president, in the Investor Daily Summit, which was attended virtually on Tuesday in Jakarta, besides big investors and foreign investors, investors from MSMEs and cooperatives also provide job opportunities to the community and play a role in advancing the nation's economy. Therefore, access and freedom to invest must also be given to MSMEs-based investors and cooperatives. The government continues to encourage ease of investment for various parties. The government has also formed Investment Acceleration Task Force, which is based on Presidential Decree No. 11 of 2021. The President further said that convenience for MSMEs and cooperatives is also provided by implementing a risk-based online single submission, which is a reference for all policymakers to issue permits. The Ministry of Industry facilitates small and medium industries to reach digital to global markets through the eSmart SMEs program, which also collaborates with online markets in Indonesia. This was stated by Director General of Small and Medium and Multifarious Industries at the Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawaningsih, in a statement in Jakarta on Tuesday. The food and beverage industry sector contributed to the largest export value during January-March 2021. Food SMEs totaling 1.6 million business units throughout Indonesia contributed to the export value. The ministry also collaborates with other ministries and institutions to expand market access. In addition, the Ministry of Industry encourages collaboration with Lulu Group International to market Indonesian spices and seasonings throughout the largest retail-owned business sector network in the Middle East. The Indonesian Ulama Council, or MUI, appealed to the public to comply with the ban on the implementation of the Idul Adha prayer in congregation in mosques and fields in the red and orange zones. Secretary General of the Council, Amir Shah Tambunan, in his statement received in Jakarta on Tuesday, said the government made the policy to reduce the rate of COVID-19 transmission. The government closed activities in all houses of worship during the implementation of the Emergency Community Activity Restrictions, or PPKM, from July 3rd to the 20th. However, Amir Shah explained the call to prayer can still be echoed by special officers who do this routinely. In addition, administrators can optimize mosques and other places of worship as a means of education and rehabilitation for COVID-19, counseling, and assisting for people who are victims of COVID-19. Now we move to the international news. The number of people detained during the riots in South Africa has exceeded 750, South African Police Minister Bheki Cele said on Tuesday. The minister said during a press conference broadcast by eNews Channel Africa that at least 10 people died in the protests. According to KwaZulu-Natal Premier Sihle Zikalala, the number of those killed in the protests in the province reached 26 people. Protests erupted on Friday night following the news of the jailing of South Africa's ex-president Jacob Zuma. The first waves of unrest began in Zuma's home province of KwaZulu-Natal and have since spilled over to South Africa's economic capital of Johannesburg in Gauteng. The protests were accompanied by looting and vandalism. On Monday, the government dispatched the troops to quell the unrest. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybkov and Cuban Ambassador in Moscow Julio Garmendia Pena expressed confidence in prompt normalization of the situation in the Caribbean country during a meeting, the Russian Foreign Ministry said, adding that Moscow supports Havana's efforts. The ministry said in a statement that mutual confidence was expressed to the speedy normalization of the situation. The inadmissibility of outside interference and other destructive actions that are fraught with destabilization in Cuba was emphasized. On Sunday, Cuba witnessed its largest protest since 1994, fueled by anger over shortages of basic goods. Thousands of people demanded free elections and the resolution of social issues. According to local media, protests and gatherings took place in 8 Cuban cities, including Havana. In response, government and Communist Party supporters held their own marches. The United Nations and the United Kingdom on Tuesday condemned the detention of Venezuelan opposition politician Freddy Guevara, who faces charges of terrorism and treason following his arrest on a Caracas highway on Monday. Guevara is a close ally of opposition leader Juan Guaido, who is recognized as the South American country's legitimate president by the United States and others. Venezuela's chief prosecutor's office said on Monday it had sought an arrest warrant for Guevara due to his alleged ties with extremist groups and paramilitaries associated with the Colombian government. We end the news with China's exports that grew at a much faster than expected pace in June as solid global demand led by easing lockdown measures and vaccination drives worldwide eclipsed virus outbreaks and port delays. Imports growth also beat expectations, though the pace eased from May, with the values boosted high raw material prices, customs data showed on Tuesday. Thanks to Beijing's efforts in largely containing the pandemic earlier than its trading partner, the world's biggest exporter has managed a solid economic revival from the coronavirus-induced slump in the first few months in 2020. Exports in dollar terms rose 32.2% in June from a year earlier, compared with 27.9% growth in May. The analysts polled by Reuters had forecast a 23.1% increase. Well, listener, that was the news.
Oh, Corona pandemic due to COVID-19 virus affects not only the economic sector but also the political sector. In Central America, COVID-19 attack has triggered a wave of protest in Cuba, Havana. The capital of the communist-leaning nation was flooded with protesters. Thousands of protesters moved on Sunday, July 12, 2021, as they considered the Cuban government failed to control COVID-19, which was worsened economic life in the country. A news agency report said that during the demonstration, the protesters called for President Miguel Diaz to step down from the office. There have been several public demonstrations this year, but Sunday's demonstration was reportedly the largest one even since 1994. The government not only called for the demonstration to be stopped, but according to the French news agency AFP, as quoted by CNN Indonesia, Cuban police officers detained more than 100 protesters. One person is reported to have died in the riots as a result of the demonstration. Regarding the demonstration that caused chaos, President Miguel Diaz blamed the United States policy of carrying out an economic embargo on his country. As people know that during the Donald Trump administration, Washington's reimposed a stricter embargo in Cuba. Previously, under the administration of President Barack Obama, had relaxed sanctions on his southern neighbor. Economic sanction in the form of trade embargo has been implemented by the United States since 1962 during the John Kennedy administration. The sanction was imposed to protest the overthrow of President Fulgencio Batista by communist rebels led by Fidel Castro in an event historically known as the Cuban Revolution. The demonstration on Sunday resulted in the escalation of diplomatic relations with the United States. The Spanish government, through its foreign ministry, has asked Havana to respect the freedom of expression of its people. The stance of the Spanish government was caused by the arrest of a correspondent for a Spanish daily newspaper. The government in Madrid asked the Cuban government to release the correspondent. Although the Cuban government has tried and quelled public demonstrations, it is still uncertain whether the handling by security forces, which is followed by the detention of protesters, will end the demonstrations. The stance of the United States, which was expressed by President Joe Biden by stating that he supports the action of some Cubans, becomes a political sign that the economic embargo will not end yet. Meanwhile, COVID-19 attack, which has caused a decline in the number of foreign tourists to Cuba, has worsened the economic situation.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on July 14, 1958 about Iraqi Revolution. Abdul Karim Qasim, a brigadier in the Iraqi army, carried out a military coup in Iraq, overthrowing the Hashemite monarchy. Iraq's king, the second Faisal, Crown Prince Abdullah and Prime Minister Nuri al-Said were assassinated during the coup. King Faisal II was the last king of Iraq. Qasim took over the position of Prime Minister, which he held until 1963. The coup also led to the dissolution of the Jordanian and Iraqi Arab federations. Moving on to an event on July 14, 2004, when the former chief of the Indonesian National Police, Hugeng Imam Santoso, died. Hugeng Imam Santoso served as the chief of the Indonesian National Police from 1968 to 1971. He is a well-respected figure among the National Police. Even though he only served 3 years as the National Police chief, Hugeng has brought major changes to the national police. In addition, his firm, clean, simple, and honest attitude made his name a legend among the police. In fact, he is willing to live mediocre in order to maintain integrity. He died on July 14, 2004, at the age of 82 years. We end today in history with an event on July 14 about Tax Day. Indonesia commemorates July 14 as Tax Day. It was when tax was first proposed in the draft constitution at the meeting of the Agency for the Preparatory Work for Indonesian Independence, or BPUPKI. The meeting was held from July 10 to the 17, 1945. The determination of July 4 as Tax Day was decided through a decree of the Director General of Taxes on December 22, 2017. The commemoration of Tax Day came into effect on 2018. Well, listener, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Terpikat pada tutumu, aku tersihir ciummu, terkagum pada pandangmu, caramu melihat dunia. Ku harap kau tahu bahwa ku terinspirasi hatimu. Ku tak harus memilikimu, tapi bolehkah ku selalu
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Maritime and Fishery Ministry with the Food and Agriculture Organization agreed to the extension of cooperation in conservation and sustainable use of freshwater fish, or called iFish, until 2023. That was announced by the Ministry Secretary General Antam November in a press release in Jakarta on Sunday. iFish is a cooperation between Indonesian Maritime and Fishery Ministry and FAO under the framework of Global Environment Facility, or GEF, signed by the Ministry Secretary General and FAO representative for Indonesia and Timor Leste back in 2017. Initially, the cooperation is valid from 2017 until this year. However, at the end of June, it was extended until 2023. Antam November said the $6.1 million cooperation will be in effect for the next 2 years. It aims to strengthen the management framework for sustainable use of Indonesian freshwater biodiversity. Public Relations and Foreign Cooperation Head of the Ministry, Agung Tri Prasetyo, said the iFish strategy is an integration of freshwater biodiversity mainstreaming into the policy through demonstrations. The conservation and sustainable use will be implemented mainly for the critical habitats at 5 locations in Kalimantan, Java, and Sumatra. The iFish main activities include the demonstration sites for Belida fish or Citala lobis in Kampar Riau, eels in Sukabumi and Cilacap, West Java, arowana and beje fishery in Kapuas and South Barito, South Kalimantan. Agung Tri Prasetyo explained that the iFish is the greatest freshwater fishery management cooperation in Indonesia between the Maritime and Fishery Ministry and FAO. It is expected to contribute directly to the freshwater fishery village development. Agung also said freshwater fishery is usually small scale, namely in communities across the riverbank. He therefore affirmed the importance of freshwater fishery in fulfilling people's welfare and food security. Agung also said in the future, the best iFish study and practices will become a reference in making the policy for freshwater fishery management across the country. Some better policies and management will be a catalyst for freshwater management in other various land habitats.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Hatiku, oh.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Mountain peak tourism parks are trending in Samarinda, the capital of East Kalimantan, one of which is Mount Lonceng Tourism. The new tourism destination is located at Mount Lonceng on Jalan Dwi Kora, Mangku Palas, Samarinda, Seberang. The area of Mount Lonceng Tourism is about 4.5 hectares. It's not a completed access to this tourism location. From the main road to Mount Lonceng, tour is about 500 meters. The parking area is quite large. You can pay a parking fee per vehicle of 3,000 rupiah. Entering the tourism area is charged 5,000 rupiah per person. Besides having a beautiful view, Mount Lonceng has historical value. During the colonial period, this mountain was used as a place for indigenous fighters to spy on immigrants, either enemies or the arrival of merchant ships entering Samarinda via the Mahakam River. On top of this mountain is placed a very large bell. The bell will ring as a signal. This big bell is what makes the local people call it the Lonceng or Bell Mountain. Mount Lonceng Tourism has been open to the public since February 2020. Before becoming a tourism spot, Mount Lonceng was a stretch of land with various types of plants and where various telecommunication transmitters and television stations were built. Previously, there were two local youth who wanted to turn this mountain area into an agricultural area, but they were unsuccessful. Then both of them show the potential of the mountain to become an interesting area to see natural charm with the background of Samarinda City and the Mahakam River. Finally, they made the Mount Lonceng area as a tourism spot via Instagrammable. To add to the attraction for taking selfies at Mount Lonceng, 5 facilities have been built in the shape of a boat, giant hands, giant birds' nests, swings, heart-shaped symbols, and giant arrows. On weekends, 1,000 until 1,500 visitors come to visit. Even though it is crowded with tourists during the pandemic, health protocols are still applied. Visitors who enter the Lonceng Mountain tourism area must wear masks. In addition to being crowded in the morning until noon, Mount Lonceng tourism is also crowded in the afternoon and evening because at night tourists can see the sparkling lights and the beauty of Samarinda City. That's Indonesian Wonder.
Pergi dariku, meninggalkan semua kenangan menutup lembaran cerita. Oh sayangku, aku tak mau. Ku tahu semua akan berakhir, tapi ku tak rela lepaskan.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is still about kesehatan, which means health. So stay tuned. Here is the conversation entitled Katanya akan kerja dari rumah, which means they say we will work from home. This dialogue is between Kevin and Mela. Mela tells Kevin about the news circulating in the office. Let's listen to the conversation.
Katanya kita akan KDR mulai minggu depan, benar?
Aku belum tahu.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Katanya, katanya, which means they say. Kita, kita, which means we. Akan, akan, which means will. KDR atau kerja dari rumah. KDR atau kerja dari rumah, which means WFH or work from home. Mulai, mulai, which means start. Minggu depan, which means next week. Katanya kita akan KDR mulai minggu depan. Katanya kita akan KDR mulai minggu depan, which means people say we will work from home next week. Benar, benar, which means is it right? Aku belum tahu, aku belum tahu, which means I don't know yet. In the dialogue, you listen to an expression, katanya kita akan KDR mulai minggu depan. Katanya kita akan KDR mulai minggu depan, which means they say we will work from home next week. In the expression, there is the word katanya, katanya, which means they say. It is used to deliver someone else's statement. It means the same as kata dia, which means he says. However, in daily speech, it is also used to deliver information from one person to another with unknown main source. For example, katanya kita akan KDR mulai minggu depan. Katanya kita akan KDR mulai minggu depan, which means they say we will WFH or work from home next week. Maybe Mela heard the information from some people, but she doesn't know who spread the information first, and she doesn't know if the information is right or wrong. Let's listen to the other examples of using the word katanya. Katanya, which means they say. Katanya kita akan uji usap PCR minggu depan. Katanya kita akan uji usap PCR minggu depan, which means they say we will have swab test next week. Oh ya? Yeah? Oh ya? Yeah? Which means oh really? Katanya atasan kita terkena COVID-19. Katanya atasan kita terkena COVID-19, which means they say our boss gets COVID-19. Oh ya? Yeah? Oh ya? Yeah? Which means oh really? Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Katanya kita akan KDR mulai minggu depan, benar?
Aku belum tahu.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa.
Kau bertanya padaku, kapan aku daya, menahan rasa ingin jumpa. Percayalah padaku, aku merindukan. Ku akan pulang, melepas semua kerinduan yang terpendam. Jangan katakan cinta, menambah beban rasa. Sudah sumbang saja sedih.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we would like to present a song from Jambi province entitled Batang Hari. The title of the song, Batang Hari, is taken from the name of the longest river in Sumatra and one of the tourism attractions in Jambi. Some of the lyrics of the song describe of Batang Hari River, which has calm water, but actually it is quiet rushing. One of the tourism destinations around Batang Hari River, namely Tanggorajo, is also mentioned in the lyrics. However, another part of the lyrics of the song describes a man who misses his idol. The man almost wants to propose her, but unfortunately, his idol has already been possessed by someone else. Well, listener, here is the song Batang Hari by M. Hazayan. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
We end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.